The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now it's time to think and discern. This is Bob Burney Live.
And welcome again to Bob Burney Live. Thank you for joining me. Telephone number 877-BOB-LIVE. 877-262-5483. Well, in some breaking news, the Democrats in the House of Representatives have released the text of a resolution on the impeachment inquiry of the President of the United States. Now, this is not a formal vote for impeachment. It's just a resolution outlining the guidelines. Okay, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on this because I don't want to get wrapped up in politics today, except a very important court case that the Ohio Attorney General has gotten involved in. And Dave Yost, our Attorney General for the state of Ohio, will be joining me at 4:15. In just a few minutes, he will be joining me today to talk about an amicus brief that he filed on behalf of us, the state of Ohio. So we'll be talking about that in a little bit. But isn't it interesting that the Democrats kept saying, we don't need to take a vote. We don't need to take a vote. What we're doing is right. It's legal. It's proper. We don't need to take a vote. We don't need to take a vote. And the Republicans have been saying, well, what do you have to hide? You know, why don't you let us know what you're doing? Everything's been done secretly, behind closed doors, without approval. There's nothing, zero, zip, zilch, nada. There's nothing bipartisan about it. You've been doing it in secret. And so evidently, Nancy Pelosi is finally admitting, you know, we're not handling this exactly correctly. So anyway, the resolution, the wording of the resolution has been released. No, I have not read it. No, I probably won't. I just don't see the need to spend that much time on it. But anyway, they are signaling that they're going to vote on this resolution on Thursday. And again, all it is an outline of the procedures for the impeachment inquiry. That's all it is. So anyway, they are expected to vote on it this coming Thursday. Here is another update. I told you I had a lot of updates today. You may remember the case of a teenager at La Plata High School in Charles County, Maryland. This teenager in the high school was required to write as part of an assignment, "There is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah," which is the profession of faith for Islam. Now, the purpose for this is they were studying world religions. And part of the study was a worksheet about the five pillars of Islam. And they had to write out what are the five pillars of Islam. And one of them is there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. Well, the student is a Christian. And she said, I can't write that. Teacher said, well, it's just part of an assignment. That's what Muslims believe. And the student says, I don't care. I cannot write out and affirm there is no God but Allah and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. She flunked. She got a failing grade because she refused to write those words. Well, she took him to court. And it made its way all the way to the Supreme Court. And yesterday, the Supreme Court said, nope, we're not going to hear the case. No comment. They just refused to hear the case. So at this point, the lower court ruling stands that the school did not violate her constitutional rights. Now, here's the bizarre thing about this. Can you imagine what would happen if any public school in America would require their students to study Christianity? And one of the questions is, what is one of the favorite Bible verses for Christians around the world? John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And a Muslim student was required to write out John 3:16 just as an exercise in what Christians believe. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if a Muslim student was forced as part of an assignment on world religions to write out John 3:16 or any other verse of Scripture, particularly from the New Testament and particularly about Jesus? I am almost positive the outcome in the case would be quite different. So anyway, the Supreme Court refused to hear the case without comment. Attorneys for the girl said, although the Supreme Court passed up an opportunity to provide clearer constitutional guidance on this important issue, there will be other chances as this issue isn't going away anytime soon, and we can almost be certain of that. In other court-related news, a federal judge, as expected, has blocked Alabama's very strong abortion law. U.S. District Judge Myron Thompson has issued a preliminary injunction blocking Alabama from enforcing the law. It was supposed to take effect on November 15th. The judge said Alabama's abortion ban contravenes clear Supreme Court case precedent. It violates the right of an individual to privacy, to make choices central to personal dignity and autonomy. It diminishes the capacity of women to act in society and to make reproductive decisions. It defies the United States Supreme Court. And if you remember, the whole Roe v. Wade thing was never about abortion. It was about privacy. A woman's right to choose. That's why that language is always used. A woman's right to choose, because that goes back to Roe v. Wade. So this District Judge Myron Thompson has ruled in light of Roe v. Wade. And that's why Roe v. Wade must be overturned. It must. Because then judges like this judge in Alabama could not use it as precedent to overturn a law passed by the people of Alabama or whatever state, including the state of Ohio, with our heartbeat bill. So that is an update. And that, by the way, that was not a surprise. Everyone expected it. And that just hastens the appeals to the Supreme Court to rule on Roe v. Wade. All right, when we return, Lord willing, we'll be joined by Ohio Attorney General Dave Yost. Stay tuned.
Talk radio that makes a difference.
Makes a difference.
This is Bob Burney Live.
Welcome back to Bob Burney Live. As you know, I've had the privilege of having all kinds of guests on this program, but It's just a real distinct honor and privilege to welcome today Ohio's 51st Attorney General, previously held the positions of Ohio Auditor of State, Delaware County Auditor, County Prosecutor. Dave Yost is my guest. Attorney General Yost, I know you're incredibly busy. Thank you for taking some time out of your schedule today.
It's always good to talk with you, Bob. Thanks for having me on.
Well, Dave, thank you. It is my privilege. And, you know, I had forgotten that you graduated from the Ohio State University with a degree in journalism. How did you get from journalism to law? You worked for the Citizen Journal, correct?
I did. I won some awards for my writing and reporting, but my paper went out of business.
It wasn't because of your writing, was it?
Well, I hope not. but I had to get I was married and had a baby on the way, so it's time to get a haircut and get a real job.
And you had a successful career in law. What in the world caused you to go into public service? Did your wife think you were just insane when you said, "Hey, honey, I'm gonna run for office"?
You know, she thought she was marrying a musician. That's what I was doing when we met. And so she's accused me for the last 39 years of a bait and switch.
Yeah.
She's been a great support. I got into public service for the same reason that I wanted to be a newspaper reporter. I've always been about trying to find out the truth. Shining streams of white light into darkened corners, and fighting for what is just and right. And I had a platform to do that for a while on the newspaper, and I've been blessed to have that ability to do that in public life.
Well, and you have served the people of Delaware County and the state of Ohio extremely, extremely well. Back in August, I was absolutely thrilled when I read that you had signed on to an amicus brief sent to the U.S. Supreme Court concerning SOGI legislation, equality, non-discrimination legislation. SOGI, of course, is sexual orientation and gender identity. Why, as the Attorney General of Ohio, did you get involved with other attorneys general around the country on a federal issue?
So the law in question is Title VII, and we're all pretty familiar with Title VII. It says you're not allowed to discriminate in employment or housing on the basis of race, religion, national origin, gender. They use the word sex. And so for 50 years, everybody understood that to mean whether you were born biologically male, biologically female. Recently, some clever lawyers have been using the powerful tools of our profession to try to argue that sex really means not just whether you're male or female by birth and biologically, but how you identify your sexual orientation. And my argument is, you know, not in the policy realm of is that a good idea or a bad idea, but rather the legal question of whether a judge is allowed to redefine what we all know a word means. And that's why I joined on. You know, I ran into, Bob, a woman at a public function, and she took me aside and said, I've got to talk with you. Mm-hmm. So I said, all right, that's fine. And she said, she was about my age, which means that she grew up at a time when, there was a lot of harsh things about people with different sexual orientation. And she said, I'm a lesbian and I've been discriminated against all of my life. And I don't understand why you hate me and why you are fighting this court battle. And I looked at her, I said, I am sorry that you've been hurt, and I don't want to hurt you, but I'm fighting this battle for you. And she said, you don't understand. You've got this wrong. I said, no, please listen. A judge that can change the meaning of a word to help you and protect you can also change a meaning of a word so that you're not protected anymore, that the law doesn't cover you. My point is simply that if we're going to change the meaning of the law, we've got to change the meaning of the law through the law writers. That's the legislature, that's Congress. It's not by an elected judge with a lifetime appointment who's decided that it would be better if the word meant something other than what we all know it means.
All right, to play the devil's advocate for just a moment, your opponents, the people who support equality legislation like Equality Ohio, would say, well, that's the beauty of this legislation. It puts it in legislation rather than in the courts. We are redefining sex through legislation, through equality acts, whether it's on the federal level or the state level, rather than allowing the courts to do that. How do you respond to that?
Well, I respond by saying I'm not a legislator, and I didn't run to be a legislator. Look, it used to be legal to discriminate on the basis of race, religion. And today, I think all of us, I certainly think most of the believers within the sound of your voice are very glad that federal law protects them against discrimination because of their faith, their religion. You know, that was a change in the law that came through our elected representatives over a long period of time. There was a lot of debate over the Civil Rights Act.
Sure.
So I am content to let the wisdom of our founders be carried out here through the political processes by which we enact legislation. And if that process creates that right, then that's the way our system works. I'm reminded of I just talked earlier this year. I had a delightful dinner with Christopher Scalia, the son of the late Supreme Court Justice and a great conservative and the acknowledged father of textualism in the modern legal age. And he told me a story about his dad. A lady came up to him and said, "Oh, Justice Scalia, you know, we're so glad you're on the court, and we so appreciate your rulings on the life issue against abortion." And of course, Justice Scalia, who is a brilliant intellect, but also a very devout practicing Catholic, said, "Ma'am, you misunderstand. My rulings about abortion are not because I'm a Catholic, although I have very strongly held beliefs about that. My rulings on abortion are because of the law. That right does not exist in the Constitution. If it did, it would be my sworn duty to uphold it, regardless of my personal beliefs and my religious faith." And I think it's important for us to.
And with that, Dave, I've got to interrupt you. Hear the music. The computer's going to cut us off. We're talking with Attorney General Dave Yost. We'll return in just a moment.